What if the broken walls of ancient Jerusalem are a mirror of Washington State today, and God is calling a remnant to rise up, repent, and rebuild with the Bible in one hand and courage in the other? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you are having a fabulous day. I know that 2026 is going to be a year of hope. Now, our hope is not in government. Our hope is not in policy. Our hope is not in anything less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And then from that place of love for God, love for our neighbors, we move out into all those other areas of life. So if you have enjoyed this devotion, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. And also, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. This is how we keep these type of things going, because we're trying to change the heart so we can change the public square. So let's dive into our last lesson on this Hope series. Starting tomorrow, we'll go back to Romans and also Old Testament Tuesdays, which is Ezekiel. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Understand that this year you're going to see God's faithfulness like never before. Therefore, you can hold fast your confession of hope, your hope in Jesus Christ. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So we got to figure out how do we stimulate each other to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. So that's been kind of our root. We've been launching from that into Old Testament stories. And today we're going to look at Nehemiah. So in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is serving as the cupbearer to the Persian king when he hears that Jerusalem's walls are broken and the people are in great trouble. He is deeply moved and he sits down, weeps, and fasts as he turns to God. He prays to God of heaven, praising God's greatness and covenant love. He confesses Israel's sin, includes himself in that confession, and asks God for favor with the king so he can act for Jerusalem. So this is a little bit of a summary of Nehemiah chapter 1. And I love this verse. If you haven't read Nehemiah 1, 5 through, I think it's 5 through 9, I guess it is. This is the beginning. I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. He goes on and he just lays out his heart before God. Now in chapter 2, one day the king notices Nehemiah's sadness and asks him what is wrong. And Nehemiah explains the ruins of Jerusalem. He courageously asks the king to send him to rebuild the city, and the king grants him permission, letters of protection, and materials. Look at Nehemiah 2:8. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was upon me. I love this. He recognizes that here he is, a cupbearer in a secular court, in a secular system, and he asks for favor from the king, and he does this because God's hand is upon him. When Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he quietly inspects the broken walls at night to see what needs to be done. And then he calls the leaders and people together, shares what God has put on his heart, and they answer, "Let us rise up and build even as enemies begin to mock and oppose them." So they're going to rise up and build regardless of what their enemies do. And I do know that in Washington State, there's a lot of people who mock conservative values, biblical worldview. You know, they mock us that, hey, life starts at conception. In fact, I saw a commercial yesterday. I can't remember what I was watching. I don't know if it was HGTV or something, but where they were saying, you know, women have rights and they have health, and it was an abortion commercial. And they mock the very fact that we see life in that womb. But we're going to obey God. And so Nehemiah chapter 3 says this, The rebuilding begins, and the people organize themselves to work on different sections of the wall and gates. And I love this because they go out kind of like right out of their house and they work on the places closest. The high priest and the other priests lead by example, rebuilding and dedicating the sheep gates. Oftentimes, the family rulers, craftsmen, and ordinary people all join in. Many work right in front of their own homes. The chapter reads like a roll call of workers showing the unity and shared commitment of God's people. So, how, you know, Nehemiah is rebuilding these walls. He's inspiring people to a place of hope and that the walls can be rebuilt. Chapter 4, as the wall begins to rise, enemies start mocking and threatening to attack to stop the work. And Nehemiah answers with prayer and wise action. That's really key. Prayer and wise action. He posts guards and arming the builders while keeping them focused on the task. See this? Keeping focused on the task. This is so important to having hope this year in Washington State. When the people grow afraid and tired, Nehemiah urges them to remember the great and awesome Lord and to fight for their families and homes. Wow. From then on, half the men work while the other half stand ready with weapons. And even the builders carry tools in one hand and a weapon in the other hand, trusting that God will fight for them. I love this. Families coming together and saying, enough is enough. You can't mess with our kids. You can't mess with our parental rights. You can't mess with our taxes, all these kinds of things that we're seeing in Washington State. We need to rebuild the things that God has given to this great state. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, it says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Nehemiah 4:14. So, you know, to really think through not living out of a fear of man. That brings hope into our hearts. So let's go to chapter 5. A new problem arises inside the community. Poor families are crying out because they are being crushed by debt, losing their fields, and even their children to slavery. And Nehemiah becomes very angry, confronts the nobles and officials, and calls them to fear God by stopping their interest and giving back what they have taken. So the leaders publicly agree, take an oath, and restore the lands and resources they had seized. And Nehemiah also points to his own example of not taking the governor's allowance so he would not be a burden. And he prays that God will remember him for good. So it's interesting because even in our own camp, the Christian community, the Christ-following community, there can be people who act inappropriately. And we need to be like Nehemiah and say, no, 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 come on. Restore, restore, restore. Now in chapter 6, the enemies shift tactics and try to lure Nehemiah into a trap, spread rumors that he is rebuilding against the king, and hire a false prophet to scare him into hiding in the temple. Nehemiah sees through each scheme and refuses to be distracted or intimidated and says, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. This is what we need in 2026. We need to be like Nehemiah. The schemes of the enemy have not changed for thousands of years. Look at this. If we go back up here, tactics to trap, spread rumors. I mean, all these things, false prophets, trying to get them to hide. Just let's not hide. Despite constant pressure, the wall is finished in just 52 days, a month and a half. When the surrounding nations see it, they lose their confidence and realize that this work has been done with the help of God. And that's what we need in Washington State right now. We need God's help. We need God's help to step in and help us in this time of need. So chapter 7 of Nehemiah, with the wall completed and the gates set in place, Nehemiah appoints gatekeepers, singers, and Levites, and he chooses faithful men to oversee Jerusalem. He notices that the city is large, but not many people live there yet. And many houses are still not rebuilt. And Nehemiah finds the old record of those who first returned from exile, and he carefully lists the families, the priests, the Levites, and temple servants by name and number. So in this chapter, Nehemiah shows God's careful in preserving his people and prepares the way for the city to be repopulated and strengthened. Look at Nehemiah 7:5. Then my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be enrolled by genealogies. In chapter 8, all the people gather in a great assembly and ask Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses. From early morning until midday, Ezra reads God's word while the people stand and listen attentively, and the Levites move among them to help them understand. As the people hear the law, they begin to weep, convicted by what they hear. But Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites tell them not to grieve because the day is holy, and they call the people to celebrate, share food with those who are in need, and remember that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Let's look at Nehemiah 8:10. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In 2026, will this be a year where the joy of the Lord is your strength? That your joy is found in nothing else. I'm telling you, when we change our focus on these things, then the things over there also begin to change. Soon after, the people gathered again, this time fasting, wearing sackcloth, and putting dust on their heads as is a sign of humility. They spend hours listening to the law, then confess their sins and sins of their ancestors. The Levites lead a long, powerful prayer that retells Israel's story from Abraham to the Exodus, the wilderness, and the Promised Land, highlighting God's faithfulness and their repeated rebellion. In the end, the people acknowledge that their current troubles under foreign rulers are because of their sin, and they commit themselves to a written covenant with God. Look at Nehemiah 9:17. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Hold on to that. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. That's what we need over Washington State. So in chapter 10, the leaders, priests, and Levites sign the covenant, and the rest of the people join them, promising to live under God's law. They specifically commit not to intermarry with surrounding nations in ways that would pull them away from God, and to honor the Sabbath and the sabbatical years. They pledge to bring regular offerings, first fruits, tithes to support the temple, and the priests and the Levites. The chapter ends with a clear resolve voiced by the people. In Nehemiah 10, we will not neglect the house of our God. And in Nehemiah chapters 11, to make sure Jerusalem is truly restored, some of the people are chosen by lot to move into the city, and others volunteer, and the people bless those who are willing to live there. The chapter lists the leaders, priests, Levites, and gatekeepers who settle in Jerusalem, as well as those who live in the surrounding towns of Judah and Benjamin. This shows how both the capital and the countryside are organized so worship and daily life can flourish. The repopulated city becomes a strong center for the renewed community. In chapter 12, a genealogy of priests and Levites connected with current leaders back to earlier generations, reminding the people of God's ongoing faithfulness. And Nehemiah then arranges a joyful dedication of the wall. Two large choirs, look at this, march on top of the wall in opposite directions, singing and giving thanks, and they meet at the temple. Great sacrifices are offered, and the joy of Jerusalem is so loud it can be heard far away. Afterward, the people set up systems to regularly support the priests and the Levites and the singers and gatekeepers so that the worship continues. Look at Nehemiah 12:43. On that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced before God. God had given them great joy. So in the final chapter of Nehemiah, later, Nehemiah returns from a trip back to the Persian king and finds that the spiritual compromise has crept in again. Are you noticing a pattern? This is the same for Washington State. It's so easy for us to creep or have, you know, cultural creep. I don't know if that's a good way to say it, but our culture goes downhill quick. A room in the temple has been given to Tobiah, the Levites, are not being supported. People are working and trading on the Sabbath, and many have married foreign wives whose children do not even speak the language of Judah. Nehemiah acts decisively. He throws out Tobiah's belongings out of the temple, restores tithes, enforces Sabbath rest, and confronts the mixed marriages. Throughout these reforms, he repeatedly prays, "Remember me, O my God," asking God to see his efforts and show him mercy. So what is our application for today? I think it's fair to say that in Washington State, we are in moral and cultural ruins. Like Jerusalem's broken walls, Washington's family's broken down addiction, homelessness, and confusion about identity point to spiritual and moral breaches that leave people exposed. Nehemiah shows us that God often begins renewal by waking a remnant to see the ruins clearly, mourn over them, and intercede before taking action. And that is what we need to do. If we want to restore hope in 2026, we need to intercede and see things for where they are, what they are. We also need prayerful civic engagement. Nehemiah served in a secular government role, but led with prayer, repentance, and scripture, blending godly conviction with wise engagement of political authority. In Washington, we need believers who can likewise seek God earnestly, then engage local councils, the legislature, statewide processes, asking God for favor and courage, and to advocate for laws and policies that protect life, family, religious freedom, and the vulnerable. Rebuilding the walls, how could that maybe be applied to today? Nehemiah did not rebuild alone. He mobilized families and guilds to restore the walls. We need to do that again. Churches and ministries across Washington State need to rebuild sections of the moral fabric of our state, where we begin to say, in this county, in this city, in this community, enough is enough. We will glorify God and honor him. And of course, we can't force Christianity or mandate it, but we can start with ourselves, where we, as Christians, as Christ followers, take our civic responsibility as important, but even a greater responsibility is our walk with God. So we walk very closely with God, and that then takes us into the public square. So, in the second half of Nehemiah shows that strong walls are not enough. The people needed renewed worship, obedience to God's word, and ongoing reform of compromise practices. We need to do the same. We need to reform within God's people. We need repentance to come, and we need to turn to the living God, going back to scripture and tearing down the idols of our heart. And finally, joyful public witness. The dedication of the wall filled Jerusalem with joy, heard far away. We need to, once again in Washington, celebrate who God is, to become a city on a hill, and to spread that hope, pulling down the secular ideologies and filling them with concrete biblical worldview, that we love our neighbor, that we love our God, and we do what's best. We fulfill that golden rule. Just at the very basics. So I hope that this has encouraged you today. Let me pray. I know I've gone a little bit long, but Nehemiah, if you haven't had a chance, stop and read it today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, like Nehemiah, who rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem, God, rebuild Washington State once again. God, would you go after our executive branch, Bob Ferguson, and Attorney General, and our Secretary of State, and all those, would you begin for us to have favor, for salvation to come in our House and our Senate, that Republicans, Democrats, and Independents will all turn to you and listen to your word once again, God. Would city councils and county commissioners and sheriffs and school boards and all the rest, God, turn to you, the living God, and that we would sense and know that salvation has come to the leaders of that are leading us and that we've elected. God, would each church come to a place of repentance, preaching the whole counsel of God's word? Can we turn back to you and to know you? Restore to us the joy of your salvation, God. Give us hope once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.